He offers a pig, an unkosher animal, on the altar. And then he takes a statue of Zeus and puts it up in the Holy of Holies. Was a dress rehearsal for exactly what the Antichrist will someday do. That horrible chapter in the lives of the Jews was termed the abomination of desolation. When you see it, see what? When you see Antichrist, he makes a covenant with Israel for 7 years. Halfway in, what does he do? He breaks his promise. He literally goes into the Holy of Holies, and instead of an idol image to Zeus, you know who stands there now? An image of himself. Standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him get this, let him understand. Verse 16, let those who are in Judea, which is in the southern part of the nation of Israel, flee to the mountains, circle mountains, and write Isaiah 16, verses 1 through 4. Let him who is on the housetop, don't even go inside the house and grab your stuff. Get right out of there. Do not go and take anything out of the house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. This is another indicator of who he's talking to. When you see the Antichrist go into the Holy of Holies, get out of Dodge. Where? Let me read to you what Isaiah 16, verses 1 through 4 says. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah. How do you say Selah in Greek? You say Petra. To the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it, the remnant of Israel, those that are still around who sees this, they shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab. There is a city, an ancient city, now in Moab, which we know today as Jordan. It's a literal place called Petra. The daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Hide the outcasts. Who has been outcast? The Jews out of Jerusalem. 3.5 years in, the Antichrist changes his stripes and he goes wholesale after the Jews. But God is going to keep them supernaturally. Petra, Selah, is going to hide the outcasts. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab, where the city of Petra is. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. Who do you suppose that is? For the extortioner is at an end. Let's dim the house lights a little bit. I've actually been to this place. It's really something. Look in the distance. Do you see the red-colored rock formations? They form practically a whole wall around the city that is on the other side of that in a bowl of sorts. So here we are heading towards the rock city of Petra. Next slide. The only way you can get there on foot is through this quarter mile long narrow passage. It's called the Sikh. S-I-Q. You could not get armored divisions in there because at some places it's only about 10 feet wide. Next one. There's deeper into the Sikh. It towers above your head, several hundred feet. And you get toward the end, go ahead. And you see peeking out, dun, 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 da, 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 from the third installment of Indiana Jones. This is carved right out of the rock face. Hit the next slide. Here's another shot looking up. Look at the hundreds of feet sheer cliff that this was carved out of. A group of people called the Nabataeans, about 300 BC. This building is called the Treasury. Hit the up arrow one more time. Go back one. Very impressive. Can you see the humans at the bottom left-hand corner? Look how massive that place is, carved out of stone. To the next one. an entire amphitheater. This will seat upwards of about 5,000 humans. Go ahead. This is a building that they call the Monastery. For those of you who love the Transformer trilogy, this is where Shia LaBeouf got the Allspark. No Transformer fans in here, I can tell. This is called the Gates of Herod. This is a Roman structure, a portion of the temple. Hit the go arrow. There's another shot of it from another direction. This is a Roman temple. Go ahead. Almost any direction you look from any location, notice the sheer cliffs hewn into the relatively soft sandstone are all kinds of compartments. It is estimated that this bowl could probably sustain a population of over 2 million humans. It doesn't rain very often. When it does rain, it rains in torrents. So what they did was they hewed big, huge cisterns or big holding tanks and a series of canals and ditches. So when it does cloudburst and pour, almost all of the water is caught. Josephus tells us that in this very arid, dry part of the world, during the deepest part of the summer, the Nabataeans would sell water because they had a surplus. Much of the irrigation system is still in place. This is literally called Petra. Another name you see in the Bible is Basra. Is this what the Bible says? And I remember when I was there, I heard the story, this may be where the remnant come to hide from the Antichrist and all of his forces at the second half of the Great Tribulation. And I looked around and I said, I could see that, but here's the thought that came into my head. What about helicopters? What about attacks from airstrikes? I visited here in 1983, and since then I've learned that if you explode a high-yield nuclear device relatively close to the surface of the Earth within a mile, it releases an electronic pulse so strong that it fries any and all circuitry that's not shielded in something called a Faraday cage. Is it possible that when the Bible talks about horses involved in the Battle of Armageddon, that the mechanized infantry and aircraft have been grounded because of electromagnetic pulse technology? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. If horses and infantry is the way that the Antichrist rolls, it's going to be real tough for them to get into that city. Back to our study. Thank you, Chris. Many church organizations, knowing the book of Revelation chapter 12, they have been putting dehydrated supplies in there for years. It's estimated that a population of almost 2 million could live quite comfortably on some of the stuff that's already there. Verse 7. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, praise God. They did not prevail! Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. They're going to get booted out. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil. Remember, Lucifer is his name, but his title is devil, which means slanderer. Oh, loved one, be careful when it occurs to you to talk down that person to another person. The Bible calls that slander. Who's the father of slander? And Satan, which means adversary, who deceives the whole world. You might want to circle that and write John chapter 16, verse 13. Remember what Jesus said? When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. This is one of those little indicators that the church is not there. Who deceives the whole world? If the church was there, you couldn't say this. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and he's really mad about that. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God night and day has been cast down. Loved one, did you catch this one? Important theology here. What does the devil do with his access to heaven, with his audience with the Most High God? You know what he does? He's tattling on you and me. If you are ever trying to move on for God, you're trying to dump an addiction. You're trying to move from a terrible season in your life. Something terrible done to you or around you or whatever it was. And you're trying to move on for God. You believe what God's word says. In Christ, I can do all things. So you start to WWPF, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. You get up 20 minutes earlier than you normally do. And you're in the word. And you're worshiping. You got your worship CDs playing. You're praying whenever it occurs to you, and you're trying to get to as much fellowship as you can. And somewhere soon after you commit to doing WWPF, you hear it. What? You? I'm going to get in and read my Bible. Go ahead, read it, Mr. Bible Man. I saw where you were on the internet 12 hours ago. I know what you've been smoking. Have any of you ever heard that, or is that just me? Who is that? The accuser. John Corson, who says, when the devil ever speaks to God about you, he just tells the truth. But whenever the devil speaks to you about God, he lies. Verse 11. And they, this is speaking of the tribulation saints. How do you know? They overcame him. You mean the devil can be overcome? Oh, yes. Watch how it's done. Number one, what? The blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of your testimony. What's the word of your testimony? Here's where I was, and here's where I am today. And three, they did not love their lives to the death. I am selfless. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Look out. Because the devil has come down to you, and he is really cheesed off, having great wrath. Why? Because he knows he has a short time. Yeah, 1260 days. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who is the woman? The remnant of Israel. When he declares himself God, Israel goes, gulp, we thought you were the Messiah. They figure it out. And then when the gig is up, they cry out to the Lord, Zechariah 12:10. And they will look upon me, Jehovah God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, whom they pierced. When was Jehovah God pierced? Hosea 5, the end couple verses says, and they will cry out, please come, Lord. One of the reasons why the devil goes after the Jews, because they have another job to do. It is Israel, according to Hosea chapter 5, that says, please come, Lord. They recognize their offense singular. If there's no Israel to say, we repent, Lord, you are our Messiah, then that won't get fulfilled. He persecuted the remnant of Israel who gave birth to the male child, the Messiah. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Is this America in prophecy? I don't think so. The eagle, the two wings. You got to write in your margin there. Exodus chapter 9, verse 4, when God says to Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Could it be an American airlift? I hope so. That she may fly into the wilderness, right in your margin there. Petra, with a question mark. To her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time. That's 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. Is God trying to tag this time or what? He has called it 1260 days. It's time, times and a half a time. Earlier he said it's 42 months. God is saying, I don't want you to miss this. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a fountain after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Wiped away like a flood is a reference to military action. The flood of the Antichrist's numerous troops and political and military allies who helps her. Verse 16. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. What does that mean? I think what happens is the earth opens up and swallows up the flood. Number 16. Do you remember Korah's rebellion? How did God deal with those that were calling Moses a goofball? It opened and then closed. Verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest, or the remnant of Israel, of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The last 3.5 years of the book of Revelation, there is a remnant of Israel. It's sad to say, the book of Zechariah tells us just how small this remnant is. In the Holocaust of World War II, 1 in 3 Jews were murdered simply for being Jewish. The book of Zechariah says that until Israel opens its eyes, that 2/3 of all Jews will be killed by the forces of Antichrist. The 1/3 that remains is the remnant that calls for Jesus' return in Revelation 19. So how do we overcome the devil? If you're taking notes, here's a good place. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Do we really get it? How much of your sin was paid for by Jesus? How much is all, you guys? Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, he says, hey, agree with your adversary before you get to court. Why? Because by the time you get to court, now your case is in the hands of the judge. It could go anywhere. Agree with your adversary. What does Satan, the word Satan, mean? Adversary. Are we to agree with Satan on only one issue? That you and I are powerful sinners. We need to agree with that. So when he comes in and he goes, well, you always, you never, you know what we're supposed to do? You're right. And frankly, Lucifer, you don't see the future like God is, so you don't know the future sins I'm going to do too. You don't know the half of it. He's all, you're supposed to fold and curl up in the fetal position and quit. You've just told me what the Bible already says about me. In me dwells no good thing. The blood of the Lamb silences the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and all the terrible things that sometimes you can barely lift your head to pray. He says, you're a terrible sinner. You should not go to church. You should quit church and relationships altogether. Don't buy it. Overcome that lie by how? How much of your sin was paid for? The blood of the Lamb. Number two, your testimony. You were taken out of a horrible pit. Amen? You were taken up from miry, dirty, suffocating clay. And he set your feet on a rock. That's Psalm 40. I'm borrowing a little bit of David's testimony. Please remember where you were and where you are now. And finally, don't love this life. It's only temporary. Number two, how you behave here affects your eternity. And number three, would you quit taking your spiritual pulse all the time? Am I doing okay? The word of your testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and don't love this life. Don't do what you do because you feel like it. Do what you do in Christ because God says, and the feelings will catch up. Let's all stand together. Thank you for our brother Kostya praying for us in Russian. We know that went right to the throne room of God. We want to remember The whole family, the whole Kretov family, Lord, they are right in the middle of Bible prophecy, right in the middle of Moscow. And Lord, a great work you are doing in that city. And we don't know how much longer the doors will be open to the gospel in that place. So we pray for the whole Kretov family and our brother, Lord Kostya. Continue to give him a fire and a flame of passion for the lost. A clear word from your Bible that the blood of the Lamb and his testimony is going to be a powerful witness in these closing chapters of planet Earth before Jesus comes. These days are coming. And if you're not in Christ, that means you miss the rapture. That means that all of these horrible judgments, you are going to have to go through. And there will be powerful temptations not to believe the simplicity of the gospel. It's going to be a powerful delusion if you can't receive Jesus now in the safety of this building within a culture that allows it. The Holy Spirit of God poured out amongst us. If you can't receive Jesus now and sense his conviction on your life, what makes you think it's going to be any easier when the Antichrist is going nuts on planet Earth? Christians, please be in prayer. Today is the day you've heard the gospel. All of your sins he paid for on the cross. He extends to you the free gift of salvation. Seriously, what is your excuse that you cannot receive it? How much does God love me? He stretched out his arms, said this much. They nailed him to a tree. That's how much I love you. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and pour through this place. Convict everyone who's not saved and not a Christian. Let them know that they are in danger, eternal jeopardy. And today it could make a difference. Last week, there was a precious sister sitting in this church who now is with Jesus. I bet the last thing in her mind would have been, you know, this time next week, I will be present with Jesus. It can come that suddenly. You have no guarantee for tomorrow. Well, how do I get saved, Pastor Steve? It's like this. You say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I get it. Your death on the cross was in my place. Now with my heart, I give you my life. I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian, Lord. I want to give you all that I am. Because the devil is right. I am a hopeless sinner. Not a popular felt needs Laodicean church, is it? That message. You're going to stand before the Lord one day. I pray you're in Christ when you do that. That's you today. I want you to lift up your hands. That's me, Pastor Steve. I give you my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who else? I'm not goofing around anymore. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, pour out upon these. And in Jesus' name, Lord, be the lifter of our heads. The blood of the Lamb over and over. The word of our testimony over and over. And not loving this life so much. In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen.